Back up and drop. The very top of page of Dal. We were talking yesterday about, we're going to otherwise miss a key piece. Talking yesterday about the core concept of bitachon. Right? The Chazanish began by talking about what bitachon is not. So bitachon is not the sort of false hope that whatever I imagine is going to happen will indeed happen. Right? You can hope, but the assumption that I have to have bitachon that whatever I want to happen will happen, that's not always, it's not correct, and it's not true empirically. Sometimes stuff happens that you don't want to happen, and that's actually asking little of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's asking little of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say whatever I want to happen should happen. We ask more of Ribbono Shel Olam. We ask Ribbono Shel Olam that he should, with his superior insight, infinitely superior insight, oversee the situation and see to it that what he deems in our long-term best interest happens. And he said, so that's emunah, and then is the belief that's true, and bitachon is acting out of that emunah. Acting out of the emunah that Ribbono Shel Olam is running the show. So he begins to say, so how does this play? What does that mean? Lamaisa. How am I going to be different? So he said, not the biggest, but the first example, the first nafkamina, if you will, the first example of how I'm going to run my life differently with that when that emunah is real. You remember he had said, look, this some people have more emunah, some people have less emunah. We could all subscribe to the same 13 animamins, but is it how deeply rooted is my belief that it's true? If you ask me, sure, I'll say it's true. But how deeply does it impact how I live? So how does it impact how I live? The very top of page of Dal says, number one, you'll have people who are ketani amana, who believe, have less emuna, believe in all 13 animamins, but less with less intensity. The end of the first line. Emunasim chalusha. They're not kofrim, not minim. They believe that they subscribe to all the 13 principles of faith, but it's weak. Aim, what does that mean? Aim pu'ulas emuna sholatzalim. Use the language they developed last time. Bitachon is the action, the operation of my abstract belief on life. It's not that the emuna doesn't operate so much. Rak negana averus hayosim mifusamos. Basher kol hatzibur nizarmbim. The emuna will get in the way, will keep me from doing big averus. So that's, again, number one, he's saying that one aspect of bitachon, one way in which emuna plays out my life, is the more I believe, the more successful I'll be at not doing the wrong thing, even if it's tempting. It's physically tempting, it's socially tempting, it's hard to resist, or whatever level, but the more I believe Rosh Hashanah really is running the world, so the more self-control I'll develop to say, I can't. He says, when emunah is weak, so then the only averus I'll be able to withstand by the strength of my emunah will be averus hayoser mifursamos, asher kol tzibur nezarmen. Averus, it's fascinating also to think about the category that he sets up. He's talking about they're more well-known. Everyone keeps these. Now, it's not about what's in principle, halachically, most chomer. It's a social thing, right? The things that everyone keeps, so then I'll keep it. I'm even barely a mom, and I'll keep that too. Let's say, it varies from society to society. There are certain averus are sort of, in every society will have its averus that it takes seriously, and the averus that somehow gets swept under the rug. In Ashkenazi society in general, in broad strokes, in Ashkenazi society, it's more common to find Jews who are somewhat observant, who will observe kashrus but not taras mishpacha. That's a thing. There are people who are not fully observant, they wouldn't serve tray for food, but the woman doesn't go to mikvah. The husband and wife are not keeping taras mishpacha. The reverse is rare in the Ashkenazi community. In the Sephardi community, it's the opposite. You have people who wouldn't keep kashrus, but not to go to mikvah. How are you talking? Now, halachically speaking, from a strict halachic perspective, the Sephardi approach corresponds to the din. In other words, it's to be bo'al nida is nisr karis, and it's potentially, as we discussed, yahar v'yavar. Right? Whereas it takes a lot of talent to violate karis through kashrus, unless you have karbonos around that have expired. If you eat mamish like dam straight out of the animal, drink dam out of the animal, eat michelev, like it takes, there are many, many isurim, basar b'chol is an aveira daraisa, and eating pork is an aveira daraisa, and eating boarheads, beef salami is an aveira daraisa, but not kares. So halachically speaking, nida is worse than basar b'chol. But he's saying, we're not talking about like in terms of the abstract halacha. A person has a weak emunah, So Be'ez Emunah is keeping him from that which is socially unacceptable. I know that being a Jew, everyone knows being a Jew means you keep kosher. Everyone knows that being an Orthodox Jew means that you can't drive on Shabbos. Mikveh, in his mind, that's sort of, you know, incorrectly, in his mind, that's like, that's really like a chumrah. That's, you know, that's icing on the cake. I go to Mikveh. Not to drive on Shabbos, that's, you know, ABCs. So it says, if the Emunah is weak, but there's some Emunah there, so it will keep me from doing those averes, which everyone knows are socially accepted as these are the basics of Yahadus. There'll be other people who have more Emunah. As we said yesterday, it's a Midah. Remember he said yesterday, Midah not only because it's a measure of a person, but Midahs are called Midahs because they lie along a continuum. There's a spectrum. It's not either I am an Anav, I'm not an Anav. I do have control of my temper, I don't have control of my temper. It's not true. There are many degrees of how much control of my temper do I have. It comes in different sizes. That's why it's called the Midahs. It says Bitachon is a Midah, because I can have more, I can have less. It's not either I is or I isn't. Right, there is a red line below which, if I don't have a muna, it's something called a non-mamin, Rahman Islam. A person can be a mamin more or be a mamin less. I believe in 1390 mamins, but how much does it impact my life? Some people impact my life a little bit. They said, no one, again, number one impact is self-control, resisting affairs. So sometimes it'll only help people with a few things. The other purpose, someone else may know, nah, okay, how can I miss meaning? Rav Shalom expects that of me. Maybe Lashon Hara is still not happening, but at least coming to minyan regular basis, that is happening. Different people, depending on what society one's in terms of what averes are considered to be socially more severe, less severe in the popular conception, and how much emunah do you have? The more emunah, over time, the emunah grows. That's Rav Sadia Gaon lived near the end of the period of the Gaonim, pre-Rishonim, and wrote one of the first organized works of Hashkafa on Jewish Emunah, called Emunas Videos. That's usually, it's originally written in Arabic, like most of the works of Hashkafa by Rishonim. So Emunas Videos, so Rav Sadia Gaon is famous for that. The Rambam was responding to him, the Kuzri was responding to him. He was sort of the first of the Chulav Zabav was responding to him. He was the first of the great Sifri Makhshava 1,000 years ago. So Rav Sadia Gaon is supposed to have a fascinating life personally. He did not grow up in Bavel, but he became the Rosh Hashiva, the Gaon, the Rosh Hashiva, the Yeshiva in Bavel. Rav Sadia Gaon, it's said that he would do tshuva every day for the amount of emunah that he had the day before. As he grew in his emunah from day to day, he would look back and say, compared to where I'm at now, I can't believe that my emunah was so weak yesterday. I can't believe my emunah was so weak a week ago, a month ago. You have to do tshuva. What does that mean? He was a kofar the day before? No. That means yesterday he didn't believe in Torah and Hashemayim, today he did? No. He believed in the Ikari Muni yesterday too. Yesterday and last week and a decade ago. But it grew deeper and more substantial. He believed in these 13 statements, but it grew more profound. And now, looking back, where he was when he was 50, he says, I can't believe I was 45. Relatively speaking, with the perspective I have now, I feel terrible. I feel remorse that my emunah was so weak at that time. He was wasn't wallowing in pity. But he was a growing person. But that speaks to this idea. It's not an all or nothing proposition. Not either you are a mamon or not mamon. There's room for greater growth. And one of the nafkaminas, certainly not the only one, we'll see more. One of the nafkaminas is going to be how much does it drive my practical ability to maintain the discipline of halacha. Hasher adam nifgash in the second paragraph. The mikra, I'm sorry, it's the lines again. His help was lamailus lamadreidus pshuta akala tzaddikim. He says, don't think that's only, you know, people aren't really tzaddikim, people are living on the edge, and then, you know, where are you at? Once you get to be a tzaddik, no, it's not like all tzaddikim are the same either. If I'm looking at skyscrapers, if I'm walking down a street in Midtown Manhattan, looking at skyscrapers, it may be hard from my perspective to gauge, you know, that one's 80 stories, and that one's 104 stories, and that one's 60 stories. From my perspective, maybe they all just look really high. They all scrape the sky. But the truth is, they're not all the same height. It says there may be a group of tzaddikim who all, in general, he quotes the pasuk in Chavakuk, tzaddik, he's paraphrasing, tzaddik be'emunaso yichyeh, that tzaddik lives by his emunah. Emunah is a central axis of his life. Yes, there are tzaddikim out there who all have a great degree of emunah, whose emunah impacts their life in very profound, comprehensive ways. But still, nivdam b'pratiyusam zel amami zel amami zel. true, at every age, at every stage, it's going to be true. There are always different madrigas. A Jew can always grow. Don't feel like, oh, I'm on such a low madriga that there's more emuna to be had. No. Mirtz Hashem, you'll be a big tzaddik when you're 80 years old with a long white beard, or with no white beard, whatever the case may be, clean-shaven tzaddik, or tzaddik with a beard, and there's still room to grow from 80 to 90. So he says, and then, so now that we have this basic concept, what emuna and bitachon are and aren't, and now we're beginning to develop a more sophisticated idea, a more correct idea of what emuna means, and what bitachon is, the application of emuna to life, and that the mature, sophisticated, nuanced understanding that these things can grow, is the kasher adam nifkash b'mikra. Let's take a look at a different application besides maintaining shmiras halacha. A person is in a situation, in a situation that has a certain risk. Whether it's sakana, sounds like a risk to life, hazardous, or some other type of risk, a social risk, a financial risk, a risk that I'm not going to get what I want, emotional risk, whatever it is. I'm in a situation with a certain risk. A normal thing is to be scared. Certainly if it's a risk to life, sakana. Normal to be scared. But your stress and your anxiety may cause you to forget that, yes, there is a risk involved in the situation, but that chance does not rule us. Ein ha-mikra, I just thought it's so poetic. Ein ha-mikra adoni alanu. Mikra, chance, is not our adon. Mikra does not our master. Ein matzor la-Hashem el Hoshio. Kadosh Baruch Hu has no limitations. Kadosh Baruch Hu may or may not choose to intervene. Kadosh Baruch Hu may choose to intervene in the way I hope for, in some other way that I don't hope for. Ribono Shalom is not limited. Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved. Misabavim she'achlipu kol mesugav. Ribono Shalom always has the ability to reorganize the situation. He says to literally prepare the causes that will change all the effects. Now, there's always engineering and re-engineering Ribono Shalom to do in any situation. The Hahavalaga, the Shah Kasha Halazu, and the ability to be calm and clear eyed at such a difficult moment, will Hashros be Kerboas Emasaidua. And again, the language is beautiful and it's also very precise. To cause the truth that we know to sink into us. Now, I know it's true in my head, but to get it to really sink into my kishkas, to feel it. Ki ein kam lefon of shum pe garab yad amikra akomi ito yisbarach. The ultimate Ribono Shalom is running the show. And ultimately, if he doesn't want stuff to happen, that's what will happen. To have that sort of calm, Shoresh Amunaso Mefiga Pachtaso, that core Amunah can take the edge off of my fear. I'm still worried. I don't know what's going to happen. And things may turn out in a way that's going to be, it will be very painful for me. But I don't feel a sense of despair, and something to pick up on later also, but like, I'm just flowing along and there's nothing that can be done. It takes the edge off of my pacha. The language is precise. No, it'll give me the toughness, the guts, to believe that there's a possibility of itself. Not like I said before, I know for sure what's going to happen. I know for sure. But to know that Ribono Shel Olam could change things, she'ein lafanam netiyah l'ra yos metiyah l'tova, they know that Ribono Shel Olam can just as easily make things work out in a way they don't want, or in a way they do want. Inyan zeh yikru'u minas ha-bitachon. That's bitachon. So he said before, one pu'ula of emunah on my life is that it gives me greater ability to withstand taiva, gives me greater ability to maintain shmiras nefesh. Another is that it will change my attitude. The facts are the same. I'm in a situation that has a certain risk, and things may happen, X may happen or Y may happen. I'm hoping for X. I'm frightened of Y. It's still true. Bitachon doesn't tell, again, fake Bitachon tells me, oh, for sure X is going to happen. Real Bitachon doesn't say, I don't know. I'm not an Avi. But I do know that Ribono Shel Olam is in charge. I do know she'ein ha-mikra adonia lanu. That it's not just a question of stochastic. It's not stochastic. It's not just random chance of what's going to happen. It's a matter of luck. Luck is not running my life. Kadosh Baruch Hu is running my life. So that, again, it doesn't change the fact. It will change my attitude. It will give me much more of a sense of thought. I'm not sure what's happening, but I can think through. Ribono Shel Olam is someone holding my hand. Is someone overseeing the situation. And he goes on to say, yeah. And then he's going to go on to talk about two ways in which this plays about. This second basic aspect of bitachon, and then the attitude, or the sense of calm that can be generated in the face of uncertainty. So that is something he's going to develop some more before some questions. Yeah.
Does it make sense then that like would say, I pray that you make X happen, and like X should be so helpful for me, whatever. But if Y happens, I know that it's what you want, so therefore try and make it like turn out as best as possible. Does it make sense to try and say that during Davening?
Yeah. No one, as a general rule, you should never feel uncomfortable being more verbose than that. A lot of times people have this idea in their head that, like, I have to limit what I talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu about and feel it. I mean, if you're in a rush, you got to catch a plane, so then now you have to be reasonable about your time. But most of the time, most of you don't have to catch planes or the trains right after davening. So you have a couple extra minutes to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He has plenty of time to listen to. So no one, it's a very important idea. And one should never feel, it's always good to unpack stuff. It's always good to share one's thoughts and feelings and dreams and yearnings and concerns and anxieties with Rosh Hashanah. Kadosh Baruch Hu is always interested in hearing. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will not tire of listening to you. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu will not share it with anyone else. You're promised total confidentiality. That's A. And B, yeah, so that is an interesting idea, right? As one's bitachon grows, so you will begin to start naturally, right? Sometimes there's a certain added element in one's tefillah of Malei Mashal Sabein L'Tova. Sigmaleinu Chasad M'Tova. Malei Mashal Sabein L'Tova means fulfill our Mashal Sabein. Ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill what we're asking for, our heart's desire, L'Tova. And in a good way. Recognize, which is with humility, recognize that ultimately Rosh Hashanah has an even better sense than we do of what's L'Tova saying. I always say, Gomel Chasadim Tovim, Lamo Yisrael. I would say that multiple times in that language in Davin. Chasadim Tovim means that we reckon Rosh Hashanah is doing things the way that will ultimately be for our best. At the same time, we do make specific bakashas. Chazal, the language of Chazal is full of that, both in Shemona Esrei and examples of Chazal give. Person's davening that some person should, some other person should survive. We do that. We daven for specific things with an understanding that ultimately Rosh Hashanah is going to direct things outside of Yosertov. Yeah, to add that element is certainly appropriate. To say, I'm hoping I'm davening for this, but all you do what's best. Sometimes also you'll daven for goals more than for specific methods.
You
may daven whether to the Rosh Shalom. You might want to daven for a particular job. You might also want to daven Rosh Shalom, help me to support my family in the best possible way. Help me support my family with dignity in the best possible way. And it may involve keeping this job. It may involve moving somewhere else. But both are appropriate. Both are appropriate ways to daven. Yeah.
Could Rabbi talk about maybe the difference or the relation between the sense of bitachon and calm and confidence, and what's like more healthy maybe, or what the relation, I mean, it sounds like it's the same, and if you're a very confident person, you'll also just sort of be very, you know, you won't be worried about what's going to happen, because you know that you're confident enough that you'll be able to...
So you might be able to get the same results coming from a different place. Something else could mimic bitachon. All right, just like I could not eat lobster because it's delicious, but Kadosh Baruch Hu said not, so I'm not going to eat lobster because I believe that God cares, and I think that if Kadosh Baruch Hu cares, that matters because I'm a mammon. Or I cannot eat lobster because I think lobster is, either because I find lobster revolting, or because I'm a vegan and I don't think I should be eating any living things. There's a whole host of reasons. Or because I can't afford lobster, or because I don't live near a lobster restaurant. There can be many reasons why I don't eat lobster. Right, but one of them is the result of bitachon. Right, so, it's true. Some people may just be confident just because they're confident, or because the guy is foolhardy and doesn't even realize that they're dangerous to be aware of. But that's not bitachon. Bitachon is where I'm clear-eyed. Bitachon is where I can assess the situation. I see things. I'm not sure how things are going to happen, and I see there are certain risks associated with. I have certain fears about certain outcomes. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm able to look in and say, I really know what's going to happen. I am scared. X, Y, Z may happen, and it's not going to be pleasant. But I know that Ribbono Shalom is running the show, and at the same time, my idea is going to be taken up later, is I know that Ribbono Shalom is going to, that part of what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of me is to do Hishadlus. But it's all coming, it's not like Hishadlus versus Bitachon, I believe, but on the other hand, I have to take care of myself. No. I believe that Ribbono Shalom put me in this world and wants me to be active. And that it's not Bitachon versus Hishadlus, it's Bitachon and Hishadlus are both coming out of a sense of, or the Hishadlus is coming out of a sense of Bitachon. I believe Ribbono Shalom runs the world, therefore part of what he expects of me, I need to do. But let's say he even takes this, maybe you mean that next paragraph, he says, this idea, again, the second nafkamina, so to speak, in Emunah, that's going to give me that sense of calm, he says, again, he said, you know, tzaddikim, you know, then many, many, many different madrigas. Just like with Averos, the more bitachon I have, the more I'm able, the more Averos I'm able to resist. The social in terms of this calm, it comes in some small sizes, and it comes in some pretty impressively large sizes. Mimiyas ha-bitachon, the second to last paragraph, lahamid atzmo al ha-nekudah, then we'll take more questions after this. Lahamid atzmo al ha-nekudah se-emunah, af b'halos al-machshav tzad yisurim. This is a tremendous madriga. An awesome degree of this type of bitachon is that even a person is facing suffering. Shilibo er kiloha mikra pega'atu. To realize that a person is not suffering horrifically. To know it's not just chance, not luck of the draw. Ein ha-mikra ba'olam klal rakakol me'ito yizbarach. Again, that formulation, going back to Yitzchak's Ha'ara, that formulation, he's going out to the Kach, is definitely might be Macholos Rishonim, but certainly it's true, L'chol Adeos, Ribbono Shel Olam could get involved at any moment, and certainly with Tzaddikim, he is particularly involved. And he says, listen to this, a Gemara and Tana, some people here have learned Maseches Tanas. Everyone? Almost everyone? Pirka de Chassidi. That one parak that has story after story after story of the great Tzaddikim, particularly among the Tanakh. I want to tell the story of Linus and Pappas, who were subject to Roman persecution, an ugly martyrdom. They died Kish Hashem at the hands of the Romans. And they're the ones who are taunted, those two brothers, who are taunted and say, oh, where's your God? You know, why can't he save you? Is that being tortured? So they say, it seems almost superhuman, they say, it was an extraordinary time. They say, look, he quotes Parvin. Anu nischayavna. If we're going to die, apparently, Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to die. So, we're not jumping for joy about it. It hurts. It's incredibly painful. But that's what Ribbono Shel Olam, apparently that's what Ribbono Shel Olam wants to happen. But we say, they say, but we will tell you, the brothers say, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to die, if it wasn't for you, it's, in Ein Ata Horgenu, if you wouldn't do it, Harbe Horgen Yeshol Lamachem, Harbe Dubin. There are plenty of other ways Ribbono Shel Olam can see that we could drop dead. There are wild animals, and there are accidents, and all sorts of things happen. Rachman Al-San. A bus could go careening off a cliff and fall hundreds of feet. That happened just a couple of days ago. Rachman Al-San, Shalom, you know. Things that stuff happen. Unpredictable and not there's no way for any passenger, perhaps not even for the driver, to have done anything to prevent it. Unpreventable. Our Kadosh Baruch Hu is cheshmini. They say to the Romans, if you wouldn't kill, if Ribbono Shel Olam wants to die, some other way could happen. But you, they say, for you guys, you're choosing to do a horrifically immoral thing. No one asked you to kill us. There's no grounds, moral grounds, you can kill us. And if you do it, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you'll have to answer to Kadosh Baruch Hu after Meir Hesher. Everything they said makes sense. It's all true. We would all agree on what they said, but to have the focus and the composure that under torture be able to say, well, this is what I believe and that's how I understand it. Right? That's an extraordinary degree of bitachon. Not only to be calm when I'm worried about a job, I'm worried about yeshiva, I'm worried about big decisions, but you know, big decisions within the realm of the usual flow of life. To be able to be calm in that way, to have the clarity of emunah, and for it to play out under torture, that's incredible to me. But again, it comes in different sizes. A person has some bitachon, so he's able to be calm in certain situations. A person has more bitachon, they have to become even in more stressful situations. A person grows and grows and grows, by the end of their lives, the lightness and poppers are such unusual tzaddikim, they're able to maintain this sort of clarity and rational application of their emunah, even under the most stressful situation possible. That's amazing. And then he says, it's not just about calm. And we'll close with this. He drops a line here that will give us food for thought, which we'll pick up with next time. This closes the first section of Parakalov. Gam ilo shel ha-hatzala she-tivas b'nei ha-adam l'shtadel b'hem mishtanos etzalotech. It's not just a question of avoiding averis because of my bitachon, or being calm in the face of risk because of my bitachon. It's also a question of how do you respond to risk. Not just how do you feel, your emotional composure, but what do you do? There's a risky situation and you have to respond. So how do you try to solve things? How do you try to fix things? How do you try to respond to uncertainty? The stuff you do will also, often there are many different ways you could handle respond to a situation, and what you, how you choose to respond is going to change. Mishtanos etzalabotech. Titachas lirdof achar nedivim, v'sarim l'vakesh achbul shav. Instead of grasping at straws, the thing that can't really work anyhow, but just sort of acting out of despair, yifashpesh abotech v'masav, yifanes libel l'tshuva tfila utztaka l'habiris ruach zera. He says one thing, which we're going to, a nugget that we're going to have to unpack in a later opportunity. He says, number one, two things he said. One's, he didn't say one's not going to do hishtadlus. One certainly will respond in substantive physical ways. One's not going to respond in ways that are don't have a lot of chance of really helping. Okay, not going to act out of despair. We'll have to think about that some more. But not only what I won't do, there's also what I will do. A part of the response of a boteach is to do physical shadlus, but a part of the response of the boteach is to daven to do tshuva. I'm in a difficult situation. I'm not sure what's going to happen with a rachmal tzlan, a child isn't healthy. A person is in danger. Whatever it is. So, or a job is on the line. They just announced a company I work for. I work for a multinational company, and they just announced that they're going to be dropping 75,000 jobs over the next 2 quarters. It might be me, or it might not be me. Is it going to be my department? Is it not going to be my department? Is it going to be my division? Is it going to be the United States, the U.S., the U.S. operations, or is it going to be the operations in India or the U.K. or South Africa? I don't know. So part of what I'm going to do is going to be practical establishments, both in terms of trying to, in legitimate moral ways, try to maintain the stability of my position here. I may also look at my resume and begin to think about, start networking and think about where am I going to go if not. And part of it also is going to be the daven. And to give ad tzedakah, to do tshuva. If you believe Rosh Hashanah in the world, so those are all. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do a shtadlus, and Kadosh Baruch Hu also wants me to do everything else right. So that, and you think about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, we know, had three responses. But two of them were physical shtadlus, both diplomatic and military, when he's meeting Esav. And the third one was tefillah. That's a legitimate, honest, substantive response to boteach. So again, so far we saw three ways in which my emunah can play out, or which implied emunah is what we call bitachon. Number one, in terms of the more bitachon, the more shmiras ha-mitzvahs I'll have. Number two, the more bitachon, the more calm I'll be able to muster in uncertain situations. And number three is that the more bitachon one has, the more it will impact how I respond to uncertain situations, certainly in terms of one piece of the puzzle being tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. And then also, something we'll have to get to later, is in terms of the sorts of things that I won't do if I'm boteach. There is appropriate shadlus and inappropriate shadlus. So that's something we're going to pick up with later on.